announced, wanted to share my testimony a little bit, so we're starting a little bit later today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 33. Oh, I didn't put my other recording device on. Psalm chapter 33, and we'll just read a verse. Verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If you would, turn over to Psalm 144. Very similar verse of Scripture. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Last week I started a series on the names of God as expressed in the Declaration of Independence, and we examined last week the faith of the Founding Fathers. And today I want to talk about the fact that the United States of America, which officially declared their independence from the tyranny of Great Britain, we recognize it July 4th, 1776. If my memory serves me correctly, I think it was actually signed on the 3rd, and then celebrated on the 4th. And our country, our declaration, and our Constitution, and our system of law, was not based on what some are calling today systemic racism or white supremacy. It was based on the moral law as expressed in the Ten Commandments and the Judeo-Christian ethic. Now, I've said this before. I have never believed in all of our nation's history that there's ever been a time where there have been a majority of citizens in the United States who were saved by the grace of God. I believe that we've always been a minority, often a decided minority. There's always been more lost people in any nation than saved people. That's just statistically proven. But our nation was founded upon Christian principles. And that's what I want to deal with today, is America was founded with Christian principles, with a Judeo-Christian worldview and value system. I'll never forget, if you'll turn over to Psalm chapter 11. I was saved, and I told you about this morning before I started preaching. In November of 1980, and the Lord added me by way of scriptural baptism to Wilmington Baptist, which was a mission out of Bryan Station Baptist Church. And in August of 1981, Bryan Station Baptist Church held an organizational service to organize the Wilmington Baptist. And Brother Gormley was a pastor at Bryan Station. And he preached a message out of Psalm 11. And verse 3 said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And I thought, what a contrast between Psalm 144, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord," in contrast with, what if these foundations are destroyed? What if they are eroded over time? What will the righteous do? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll keep standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what comes in America's future, no matter how far we as a nation may drift away from God, I'm going to preach the gospel as the only way of salvation. I am going to, by the grace of God, stand firm and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it may cost us to stand in this evil day when the foundations are being removed and destroyed and decimated. But we have to continue preaching the gospel. We may suffer persecution. In some of the bigger cities, some of these Marxist, Antifa, and BLM, I believe Black Lives Matter. Black individual lives matter. That's why I preach the gospel to them. But I don't believe in the Marxist organization that wants to destroy the family unit and the system of law in the United States. They are anarchists. They're Marxists. And I don't want that to happen. But Antifa in some of the larger cities have gone from, instead of tearing down statues, now they're going and protesting churches. And they're committing some acts of violence and desecration and those types of things against church buildings. And I'm going to tell you, this is what happens with Marxists, with communists, with anarchists. You see, they want to attack America as founded because it was founded upon biblical principles, on moral authority from the Word of God. And as such, you think it's about race. That's what the media wants you to think. It's not at all about race. It's all about destroying this book and the Christian religion. Because you can't have a Marxist government where there is a Christian religion, where people read the Bible and they believe that they should be governed by the moral laws of God, that they should be, that they are individually responsible for their own behavior, that they can't blame anyone else, that they are accountable to God, that they will personally give an account to God, that they will be judged for their sins if they die in their sins. You, today, if you're here and you're lost, you can't blame anyone or anything for it. You are the one that needs to be saved. You are the one that needs to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard the message. I know that it's true. But you see, the Bible teaches individual responsibility before God. And you can't have that when the state becomes God. When secular humanism becomes the religion of the day. When instead of saying, "I believe the Bible," people are now saying, "I believe in science and data." Well, I believe in science if it lines up with the truth. But I don't believe in science that just comes about out of man's imagination. Several years ago, after President Barack Obama had been inaugurated, he went to some other nations. Some people dubbed it the Apology Tour. And he made a statement as he went to these nations and he was apologizing for America, how it was founded, all the wrongs that we had done. And I still contend, with every flaw and every sin of America, and we have had plenty of them, and we especially have them right now. You know, I look at the death tolls from coronavirus, and thankfully they're nowhere near the death tolls of how many babies are exterminated on any given day. The daily tally comes nowhere near the over 3,000 babies that are exterminated and aborted every day in America. We are a nation adrift and in sin. And I believe we're under the judgment of God. But President Obama declared, and I remember how the hubbub around this statement. He said, "America is not a Christian nation." And a lot of people got really angry about it, but I thought about it and I thought, you know what? There's an element of truth in what he's saying. What he should have said is that America is no longer a Christian nation. He would have been perfectly accurate if he would have stated it in those terms. Because what we've witnessed over the last 100 years is the incremental decimation of our founding principles, of the Word of God being authoritative. After 100+ years of what I call the state religion of secular humanism and atheism that demonizes genuine Christianity and the Judeo-Christian worldview, America is by and large a nation that dismisses the notion of God. This is sad, but it's true. Now I'll illustrate it for you. Your own personal experience. When was the last time you were out in public and you heard someone mention God or the name of Jesus Christ in a positive way? Or when was the last time somebody came up to you and said, "Hey, I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, and I want to talk to you about that." When has that last happened to you? You see, people in our nation are afraid to talk about God. It's troublesome to me because it's not always been this way in the United States of America. the teacher priests of progressive secular humanism are found in our schools, our universities, our media, our government. We actually have a sitting United States representative who is on the House floor calling for the complete dismantling of the United States of America. How does that happen? It happens through education. A little here, a little there, year after year after year. Sadly, think about this. How many churches today will say, I believe the first verse of the Bible. I believe in a literal creation, that God created the heavens and the earth, and He did it in six literal days. How many churches today will take that stand? Very few. Because the sinful heresy of evolution has been taught in schools and in the media, on television, everywhere. That God's not a creator. There's no intelligent design. It all just came about. And it's a lie from hell. This is where we are. And it's because we have left our founding principles. It's sad because there are people with in positions of authority and influence who have poisoned our political system, our culture, and even our churches. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But as I said, it was not always that way. Such was not always the case in America. America was founded upon Christian principles. And it continued on with the designation as a quote-unquote Christian nation until the 1960s. And I can prove that from historical writings. Now, again, I told you we're going to do our history lessons. And I know for some of you, this is so boring. It isn't for me. I love it. I mean, I wish I'd do more of it. But it involves me reading some things to you. And I'm asking you today, don't fall asleep. Because like Adeline and Gavin, you're not going to get this story in school today. You're not going to get it's not being taught how America was founded and by whom it was founded. There was a guy by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville. How many have heard of Alexis? Josh, Brad? Brad. I know you've heard of him. You've been through college, son. But several people have heard of Alexis de Tocqueville. He was a French jurist. He visited America in 1831. And he traveled throughout the country. And he wrote a book entitled Democracy in America. It's an old book. And he had, this is a Frenchman taking a look at the United States of America. And the French, they had a different kind of revolution than we did. Theirs was a bloody secular revolution. That they really purged God from their society in the French Revolution. And I think that part of that is what's happening today. But I want you to listen to some of his quotes. He said, "On my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. And the longer I stayed there, the more I perceived the great political consequences resulting from this new state of things. He said, religion in America takes no direct part in the government of society, but it must be regarded as the first of their political institutions. I do not know whether all Americans have a sincere faith in their religion, for who can search the human heart? But I am certain that they hold it to be indispensable in the maintenance of republican institutions. This opinion is not peculiar to a class of citizens or to a party, but it belongs to the whole nation and to every rank of society. What does that tell you? There was an ethic in place by those who founded the nation. They lived by some modicum of Christian principles that are in the Word of God. He went on to say the sects, S-E-C-T-S, the different denominations, that exist in the United States are innumerable. And from somebody coming from Europe to the United States, that would be just completely unorthodox. Because in Europe, for the longest time, the Roman Catholic Church was the state church in Europe. With the advent of the Protestant Reformation, those Protestant denominations had many of the same characteristics of their mama that they rebelled against, and they all established state religions. Well, the United States did not establish a state religion. It was founded upon the principle of freedom of religion. That was part of the Bill of Rights. Freedom of religion. Freedom to worship God after the dictates of your own conscience. It was the first time in history that a nation had those kind of freedoms. And that's why it amazed him. He said, they all differ in respect to the worship which is due the Creator, but they all agree in respect to the duties which are due from man to man. Each sect adores the deity in its own peculiar manner, but all sects preach the same moral law in the name of God. All the sects of the United States are comprised within the great unity of Christianity, and Christian morality is everywhere the same. There is no country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. Here is a guy, an outsider, a Frenchman, who was examining the culture, the way of life, the political system, the habits of those in the United States. And this is what he came away with. He said, the revolutionists of America are obliged to profess a respect for Christian morality and equity which does not permit them to violate wantonly the laws that oppose their designs. Thus, while the law permits the Americans to do what they please, religion prevents them from conceiving and forbids them to commit what is rash or unjust. Now, this is a quote that you probably know, you just didn't know it was from Alexis de Tocqueville. He said, I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. That's a prophetic statement. I've long contended, without apology, that we live in the greatest nation, I believe, that's ever been formed. And somebody says, well, you're just a flag-waving Yankee Doodle dandy. You're just an undying patriot. I'm going to tell you, I look at things from a historical perspective. The United States of America has done a lot of good around the world. We have done a lot of mission work throughout the world. Our churches in the United States have sent missionaries throughout every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. God has used our nation, our industry, our free enterprise and capitalism to raise many out of poverty. This is why I am fiercely against communism and those who follow the philosophies of Karl Marx. Because at the very core of Marxism is atheism. That there is no God, and that you are to be ruled by the dictates of the state, and they determine your rights. They determine how you're to live, what you can earn, where you can go, what you can say, how you can say it. These are all tenets of Marxism. Whether it's white, crazy white liberals that are preaching Marxism, or black folks that are teaching Marxism, it's wrong. And I'm going to stand against it, because it'll destroy our nation. Just like it destroyed Cuba, just like it destroyed Venezuela, just like it's continuing to destroy the old Soviet Union. And listen, folks, today there will be thousands killed in China that you'll never hear of. They'll be killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. Since the religion of statist secular humanism has poisoned our society, we've lost our way. And I believe America's greatness will soon be a thing of the past unless we turn back to the very thing that made us great, a Judeo-Christian ethic that permeates the society at large. Our society, our country, was founded on the idea that God is real, alive, active in the course of human events. Our founders and leaders have consistently called upon the nation to seek God, especially during times of great crisis. And all the examples of declarations calling for days of prayer and fasting, pleading with the Almighty to undertake for us in our history, reveals this. Now, I'm going to have to stop there today. We'll continue our history lesson next week. I got a little carried away with my testimony and trying to make up for time that Joe took. But I pray that you'll give me a little grace as I continue teaching how our nation was founded and why we need to get back. And folks, it has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. It has to do with our relationship to our Creator, His Word, and the Redeemer that His Word clearly shows forth, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace to preach His Word and preach the gospel with a greater fervency than we ever have before. Because that's the hope for the United States, is men, women, boys, and girls turning to Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.